This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi, so today I'm talking to Laurie Quinnell from Leonora Haircare. I actually have two businesses on the podcast in the next couple of weeks, two different businesses who sell hair products. And the reason for that is I actually think it's really interesting how they sell very similar products, but their stories are so, so different. So I know Laurie personally, and I've been really inspired by her story over the last couple of months. She has literally been making her products in her kitchen at home. However, they're all accredited and certified, and I'm going to let her tell you just how good her products are and how much she's put into them. And I really hope you find her story interesting and inspiring. So I would now love to introduce you to Laurie. So hi, Laurie. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So can we start with you please giving an introduction to yourself, your business and what you sell, please?
So my name is Laurence, always known as Laurie. I'm actually an ex-midwife, and I started when I left midwifery, and my hair was starting falling off. So that's how it started, really. I was starting having some problem with my hair, probably being after years of working night shift. And I looked into kind of non-medical a way of sorting it, really. So I looked into the Ayurvedic herbs and oil and so on. I did find some other products that were fine, but were not really answering my problems or didn't like the texture. So I started playing around with some. So I started buying some ingredients and doing it in my kitchen. And then while I was working for a very well-known chemist in the high street, and then COVID came and I was made redundant. And that gave me the idea, well, if it's working for me, since I was starting having good results and my hair was and my scalp was improving, I thought, well, let me turn it into a business. So I got in touch with Ayurvedic herbalist, and I gave him first my original formula, and he was like, whoa, hold on a minute, there's a problem with that. So we worked through it, and he said to me, what is it that you want to achieve out of it, first of all? And then we can kind of channel what you know, the herbs that will be relevant. So my main aim was to tackle roughly middle age hair thinning due to hormonal changes, scalp issues such as itching, baldness, dandruff. And so we worked through a formula, and then I had the dreadful task of finding an assessor, because obviously every cosmetic problem needs a CPSR, which is a certification by law. And he helped me actually with that, which was really helpful. And I came up, so we kind of fine-tune the formula some more according to obviously the chemist that I was working with that would assess and certify my product. And we came up with Leonora Haircare. So that's how we came with first the oil, which was my main, this is my baby basically, because that was the hardest to get an assessor. Most of them wouldn't know about Ayurvedic, or knew a very few of them, such as fenugreek or some items of it, but not all the ingredients, and didn't have the data. thankfully, she was versed into having most of the data of the herbs that I was using, so she could check, because basically they need to check the level, the amount that I'm using, the toxicity, if there is any, and as well as for the essential oils, since I'm not using any fragrance being chemicals. So my aim of Leonora Hair Care is basically to go as natural as possible, to let Mother Nature help the body, basically, or help the hair, the scalp. So I came up with the oil first, and then ended up doing the whip butter, which you like about it, which also is helping to kind of seal in the moisture and therefore help the hair remain bouncy, soft, and ended up not doing split hands and all this, really.
Thank you so much for all of that, and thank you for explaining, talking us through the products. Yeah, as you know, I'm a big fan of the butter. I do use the hair oil, but because my hair's fine, I have to use it more as a treatment before washing and then wash out. But I use the butter every time I wash my hair, Laurie. I really am a big fan. So people who don't know what I look like, I have quite fine, naturally curly hair. And your hair butter is amazing because it doesn't weigh it down and it makes it soft and the curls are defined. Yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan. And they do smell. I didn't realize there was no fragrance added, because your products do actually smell very nice. So when you say Ayurvedic ingredients, just for anyone who doesn't understand what that means, do you want to tell us what that means?
Basically, the Ayurvedic herbs, it stems from the Ayurvedic medicine, which is more of a Far East, Middle East or Indian background, really. They do help it just to help the body, the soul and the mind. It's very close to homeopathic in that sense, because it's using the herbal potency to help any ailments, basically. So that's what I'm looking for. So each herbs will have their own potency. They have their own vitamins, like fenugreek, for example, that will have vitamin K, vitamin C inside. So when you infuse it, and yes, there's a lot out there, but it's knowing the levels as well, because obviously every levels, every potency will have, you know, the danger of having too much or too little to be able to work, basically, or to cause harms. So you have to be careful. For example, I take a herb that is very well known, is henna. Henna is really good for the hair, but it's got the potency of drying out the hair if you put too much. And if used in hair product, you have to, if it's a certified hair product, you have to know the level of lotion that is inside the product. You have to know as well that henna will color the hair. So all depends on who you're targeting as well, which is the main aim of Leonora, is that I don't target just Afro hair. That is a very important thing. But what I'm targeting is the health of the hair. So basically strengthening the follicles, stimulating the follicles, and keeping the hair moisturized. But every type of hair will have the same constitution as such. It's the level of the product that will be different. So for example, for Afro hair, we need more oils, more butters, for example. And as you notice, you will need much less. So in that sense, sorry if you can hear the dog.
No worries.
So that's the difference. But my aim is that my product will be aimed for everyone to use it to a different level, but it will have the same aim, basically.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm using it for. So that's the aim of the company.
So getting that formulation right
I imagine was a huge job, because I guess as well as thinking about the level of the ingredients, it's also how they react with each other potentially. So when you were first inspired, you said that, you know, you had issues with your hair and you were thinking about making something yourself before you sort of got involved with somebody to help you. How did you go about knowing? Were you literally just buying things and trying them, or did you have a bit of a background in how to formulate it?
Not so much. I mean, I kind of knew a little bit about it, but the main aim is, I mean, it's trial and error. For example, my first formula, I would just infuse everything at once. Whereas that when I got involved with the herbalist, he helped me in saying that it is better to get the most of each ingredients or each herbs, is to infuse them separately. So I do infuse them separately. So it's all the amount of oil, which type of oil that will be the best to infuse in. Because what they will do is there's a certain amount. Each herbs have got more of a potency to infuse quicker than others. So it will saturate the oil much quicker. And therefore, one will have less of than the other. So the best way to do it is to infuse separately, so you get the infusion equally in that sense, according to the level of the amount that you're using, obviously. And once it's infused to a certain amount of time to the temperature, so all that as well is has to be taken into account and written in the formula. So I have to use the type of oil I'm using, how long I'm infusing it for, at what temperature that has to be constant, how do I remove the botanical extract out of the oil, that is very important. And that is the one thing that I realized, that some Ayu products out there are not certified, because I found some that have still got the infusion botanical in there, and that will make the oil rancid. Because they will disintegrate, they will decompose eventually, and that will make it rancid. And there's a potential, the oil creating more problems than others for the staff, for example. Oh, so wow. There is no assessors in the UK that will certify a product with the botanical extract in it still. It has to be removed. That is a big point. So yes, it was, and then it's finding how to infuse, how to remove the, because some of them will be more powder-like, some will be more seeds-like, like fenugreek seeds, or, you know, much bigger particles, let's say. So yes, it was quite an interesting journey. Let's put it this way.
It sounds really hard,
oil salted.
But, I can imagine. Yeah. And it sounds very scientific as well. Am I right in thinking you're still producing these in your kitchen, or, well, in your home at least?
Yes, I am.
And have you had to buy like specialist equipment to do that? Because it sounds very, I think scientific is the best word I can think off the top of my head.
Yes, I mean, like I said, my first batch, I used for myself, obviously, it was just the boiling and so on, not knowing. But then I had to have the thermometer, just to double check the temperature. I had to have the lab bath, so I had to buy lab equipment, basically, which, my eldest is at university, so I kind of his room has overgrown now.
That's your science lab.
I know. But yes, it's little things like this that to make it sure that it is at certain degrees and so on and so forth, and it remains constant during the infusion period, and for how many days that I'm infusing. I can't constantly be there with a thermometer to check it. Therefore, I needed to have something that I can set the temperature, so I know it's not going to burn the herbs, and then makes it, you know, the whole batch will have to go. So yes, it's quite interesting. It's fascinating. I have to say that I've become quite obsessed with it. And it's the same with the butter as well, because to get the butter, because to make the butter, I'm infused the part of the oil with the shea powder and the fenugreek to a certain level, for a certain amount of time, certain temperature. Then I have to melt the butters as well. And they both have to be at the same temperature to be able to mix it. And that is very fascinating, because if you heat the butter too much, you will lose the potency of the butter. And you have also the possibility of burning the butter, which will give it a foul smell and so on and so forth. So it's very fascinating.
It is. And how long does it take you to make up a batch? If you want to make up a batch of products, how long does that take?
The oil takes the longest, because I have to, there's so many, I mean, I've got 21 ingredients in the oil, including the oil that are already, like for example, castor oil is already made. But including all of those, so to infuse, it takes roughly about 3 days, let's say about 4 days to make a batch.
For the oil. Wow.
And the butter will take about 3 days, including the infusion period.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And I remember when we very first started speaking about these products, I was so impressed at the amount of trialing and error you've done, and the assessment as well, because I know you were so keen to make sure that your products were safe for use and you had them assessed and certified. How long was the process from thinking, okay, maybe this could be a business, to actually feeling comfortable that everything was, you know, in order and you could start to sell them?
I shed so many tears. I mean, for the oil, which I keep going back to the oil, because that was the hardest to get assessed. The butter itself was fine. So basically, because there's much less of herbal infusion going in it. I mean, it's the fenugreek and the shea powder. Is having all the paperwork from the suppliers, because you have to supply where you get the herbs and the powder from. If you've got the certification for those as well, or it's not just this dodgy powder out of nowhere. And I had to send each batch, I have to send a sample to a lab to have stability testing as well. So once that comes back, okay, without any oil. For the butter, not so much stability. It will be the TVC. So that's the total viral count. And that is to check if there's no salmonella or E. coli or anything like this. So microbial test. And once that comes back, okay, then I can prepare the batch for it. For the oil, I didn't have to do this particular test, but to get to the certification, it took me about 8-9 months. Yes, and a lot of money.
I think though, and I think I've said this to you before, but I think it's such a credit to you that you've done all of that though, and you've really put the care into making sure that your product is good to use. So I know that I can imagine the tears and the frustration, and you know, it took a long time, but I definitely think it pays off, because you can have so much confidence in what you're selling.
This is the whole point, really, because at the end of the day, what I'm selling is what I'm using. Therefore, if I want to use quality, I want to sell quality. There's no point of me underselling buying an underrated product or ingredients just to make money out of something that's not going to work and therefore won't have a good feedback anyway.
Yeah.
So, there's periods where I had doubts and so on, thinking, oh my God, I should just do it for myself and for my hair. What am I doing? And so on. But when I see the result in myself, I was like, okay, well, I know that it works. So this is what was pushing me. And people that I've tried or had the samples, to be honest, until to date, I haven't had one negative feedback. Yes, sometimes it will be like, oh, yes, it's too oily, it's too on. And it's like, well, if you use less, does that work? You know, it's all according to the texture of the hair and so on, but it's not to do with the product itself. And, you know, I mean, to have my neighbor's son coming and say, do you think he will work on my bald patch? I said, there's only one way to find out. And then a few weeks later, he comes and goes, oh, look, I've got some growth. I've got some hair coming. I've never had that. I've tried this. I've tried that and so on. So it gives me more and more confidence in that sense to keep going. So eventually what I need is, or what I would like is the exposure to, so that I know that the products are okay. I know that the products are good because that's what I use. So it's not as if I'm selling something that I haven't tried myself.
Yeah,
I was the first sampler.
And you mentioned samples, and I think what you said about it not, you know, different hair having different needs to use different amount. I think that's the same with any hair products anyway. But I think it's great that you sent out samples so people could try them. And did you get any feedback that changed anything for the products at all, or was it all just validation?
Well, originally I was starting because I'm trying, I mean, my vision is also staying plastic free or minimizing the use of plastic anyways. Hence the reason why the oil is in a bottle, the butters are in aluminium jars. So those are recycled. My aim also will be able to do a recycling scheme as well. That would be good. But, for example, when I first started, I was thinking of doing the shampoo bars as well. And those are the only products that were having, how can I say that? People were kind of, I mean, I had a kind of a 50-50. So, for example, people with fuller hair, head of hair, would love it because it will tame the freeze and so on and so forth. But being in a hard water area, the problem with the shampoo bars is that sometimes it makes it kind of waxy on the hair. And that can be a bit sticky for finer hair. So I had to rethink this one because I didn't want something that would not be able to be used where I live. Does that make sense?
It does. And you mentioned earlier that you wanted your products to be used by people of all different hair types as well. And it sounded like that might work great for some people, but not for others. And it sounds like that's not what your goal is.
Yeah. So at the moment, I mean, I've got so many ideas. It's incredible. Hence the reason why I'm not sleeping very well. But I am actually in the process of doing a leave-in conditioner. So now it's been sent out for testing because leave-in conditioners got water and therefore it needs stability testing just to make sure that the product is not separating or is not growing anything within, so on. So that takes about a month to come back to me. So that is one thing. But I like the fact that I'm always infusing my product with Ayurvedic because there's always this nature aspect into it. And I'm now thinking of doing a liquid shampoo as well. Eventually, it will come. And I've got plenty of ideas. So I've written up a formula, but that will have to wait because every formula will have to be assessed and we have to be tested because anything that's got water, like I just said, needs to be lab tested in that sense. And that costs a lot of money. So yeah. Obviously not having yet enough money coming in, I really have to do it really step by step. Hence the reason why I've got only two products at the moment out there. I mean, for the oil itself, from sourcing all the ingredients, packaging, labeling, certification, it cost me just under £600 just for the oil, to have the oil ready. And then the butter was about 400. So it is a lot of money when, you know, you've just been made redundant and so on and so forth. And you're working on just one wage, you know, living on my husband's wage. But, it is fascinating.
It is. And thank you for being so honest about that as well. And I actually wanted to ask you a little bit about the jars and the bottles and the labeling. So how did you go about sourcing all of that? Because I'm still fascinated by the fact that you, every aspect of this you are doing, you know, you're creating it, you're packaging it up. So where did you actually, how did you go about sourcing those components?
Well, what I did is that I went to the zero waste shop just by the station.
Okay.
And I had a chat with, with Emma, the lady that owns that shop. And I was just explaining my vision. And she gave me the name of a UK supplier. She said, well, most of the product that I've got, that's where they supply their bottles and so on. And then I got in touch. I went onto their website and that's what I'm looking for. This is what I want. This is something that can either be recycled or is not going to cost the earth, basically, in that sense, literally. So I went for that. They are not cheap, but this is the vision that I've got. Same for the packaging. I mean, the packaging, I won't say it's basics. It's not like labeled or anything as yet, because obviously I'm just starting off. But my aim was still using plastic free. And therefore, I'm using boxes. I'm using the shredded papers that are all biodegradable. Even the tape that I'm using to seal the, I had to look for the tapes that are biodegradable as well, and therefore will not have any plastic inside and so on. So it's really, I'm really pushing that idea that goes with Mother Nature. I mean, the whole concept of Leonora, basically.
Yeah, you have such a clear vision. I think that's amazing. And I like as well that you found your packaging supplier by sort of just reaching out and asking someone, because I think that sometimes can be the best way, is just to ask questions. Can you help me? Do you know someone? It's such a good way of just finding things out, isn't it? Just to ask questions.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same as well for the labels. I thought, well, yes, I can do it online. I can do it myself. I wanted it to look serious. I wanted it to look clean. I wanted it to look, and I also wanted to, being a small, a budding small business, I thought, what's the best way of helping another small business? And therefore, I went to the high street, found a printing company there that is, you know, local business and is helping each other out in that sense. And I like this idea of my business is helping another business, so, you know, keep going. And yes, there might be a little bit more dearer than going online and having it online, but it's a human being that I can talk to. And yes, it's helping local people. And, you know, and I like this idea that I find that, and they did a very good job, to be honest. I mean, also, I did have this wonderful young man. He's all the way in Manchester, bless him, who did the logo as well. Because being from the Caribbean, I wanted something to reflect the Caribbean and have kind of the movement of the hair in that sense. And he came with that logo. So I explained to him where the name came about, which came about from a book that I read when I was in my teens that is written from a French Caribbean writer. I mean, she's no more. It turns out that she became a family member as well. But that book really kind of touched me in my teens. And therefore, I even found it in English as well, which was brilliant because my husband could read it now. So we've got both versions. And I thought, yes, that's the name. And he came up with the, so I sent him the pictures and so on. So he had the vision and he came with the logo, which was brilliant, and the colors and so on. And so that managed to get into the labels. And every time, I'm in love with it over and over. Every time I look at it, to be honest.
Oh, it is beautiful. And I think I think how to explain it. It is exactly what it needs to be. I can't think of a better way of saying it than that. I think it really reflects you and what you're achieving with your products.
Yes, because if you look at it, it looks like a sunset in one way, but also the motion of the sun is more or less like the hair movement as well. So there's a double meaning to the logo. I mean, to me, it means something. It might be just a logo, but there's something to do with it, yeah.
No, you have to love it. And if you're listening and thinking, oh, I wonder what that looks like, then no excuses. You need to go to look at Laurie's Instagram or her website and see this for yourself. And I'm going to put all the links to that in the show notes. And you mentioned supporting local businesses as well. So I know also you're stocked in, so Laurie and I both live in Tunbridge. And you mentioned to me that you're stocked in some local shops as well, which is really exciting.
Very much so. It is, because at the end of the day, I mean, I spoke to Zilch, for example. I don't know if I'm able to mention them.
You can mention people, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. I wasn't sure. Well, anyways, this is Emma, who told me about Ampula, which is where I'm sourcing my bottles and my jars, and go to Creative Printing up the high street, who's doing my labels, my thank you cards, my business cards, with the smaller version, because obviously there's the bigger version, but I've just started doing the smaller version of the product for people that don't need as much, like I said, or just needed, you know, the travel size and so on, the pocket size. And so I realized that you can't read the how to use the product behind the bottles. So I've made a card as well. So in that little pocket, as you probably have on yours, there's as well the how to use card as well. So, you know, you don't think, oh, okay, I've got this product, I don't remember how to use it or something. Then you always have it with you. So it's little something like this. I'm going to do flyers as well. Some shops around are happy to, Barden store, for example, they were happy to stock the pocket size, which is brilliant. So it's just right there. And they are happy to have the flyers on their windowsill. You know, a few shops as well along the way said to me, yes, once you have the flyers, that's no problem. I can have them. So it's brilliant in that sense to get the word out there, really.
It is. And are you looking to get stocked in any more stores as well? Or are you focusing online? What are you thinking?
Yes, I mean, I'm online. I've got my own website. I've got Etsy, I'm aiming. I went to London as well to see some hairdressers. There will be actually a hairdresser that is coming up in Maidstone. I mean, they are not open yet, but they are in project of opening. I believe they are doing, I think their name is Seisha or something like that. Anyhow. They are doing wigs at the moment. So I thought, well, wigs means you probably have hair problem. So I contacted them and said, would you be happy to partner up with me? Because this is what I do, this is my vision and so on. And they were happy. And they said, well, actually, we are about to open towards summer for a hairdresser. So they will be doing hair and they will be happy to use my product in there. And it's like, yay. So that gave me the idea of going to London and so on. So I will be doing some exposition as well in May, I believe, with one of the hairdressers there. She's happy for me to use her stall and we do it together in that sense. And I have in as a plan to send some samples out as well to magazines and so on to see if they want to review or they want to sample. So hopefully that will get the word out there, really, instead of just locally. At the moment, it's very much local. It just needs to be known out there, really.
Yeah, but I think you're doing such a lot. I'm always amazed how much you're doing. No wonder you're tired. But I think it's a good idea to start local, because everyone has to start somewhere. And I think local is good because it's just easier, and it's all about small steps, isn't it? I think very few people, when they first have a product, manage to get it stocked in, let's say, Boots, Superdrug, whatever. That, you know, that's not often the first step. And I don't even know if that's something you'd ever, you know, envision anyway. But what I mean is, I think starting with smaller steps definitely makes sense. Starting local makes sense because you can build the relationships and get things out there, whereas to get something, you know, out there nationally is a lot more work. So
it is much more. And then there's competition. I mean, in the hair products, there's so much out there. It is a lot. But the one thing that always comes back, regardless of what type of hair, is that my hair is always dry. I find that my hair feels like straw, especially people with who dyes their hair, use, you know, chemicals and dyes their hair. They find their hair feeling very dry. And then we've got the winter, we've got the temperature changes and so on. So all that affect the hair as well as, you know, hormonal changes and so on and so forth. So it's all about to be, it's a bit of TLC to the head, basically.
Yeah. And you mentioned just a moment ago that as well as your website, you're selling on Etsy. So how have you found that so far?
It was slow to start with, because with Etsy, what I found out is what boosts the shop, if I can say so, is obviously reviews and stars and so on and so forth. And obviously when you start, you don't have any.
Yeah.
So it was mainly, I mean, the way I went around it is to advertise. So I use Facebook, Instagram to kind of boost it that way, or to make it known out there. And also I started with on special days, I do some promotions and so on, and that did the boost as well. That works quite well. It's little things as well. I mean, they are very big on having free deliveries and so on, which is fine. I mean, at least UK deliveries. So I've done it this way, and yes, I mean, it's kind of hit and miss, I have to say. But it is coming along. It is getting a bit known more out there. I get more views and so on it. So it's what I found is the constant. You have to be constant in social media. You know, in your presence in social media. I mean, it all depends on the budget that you've got for it. Obviously, everything's about budget in that sense. But yeah, it's getting it known and word of mouth and so on. And it will get there eventually.
Yeah, I think the hardest bit is definitely getting started. Mm. And as you say, your views are going up and sales are going up. But getting started is definitely the hardest. So you're over that. And thank you for sharing some of the things you actually did as well. I think that's really useful. So your ads, just so we're clear, so you would write your ads from Facebook and Instagram are going to Etsy rather than to your website. Is that right?
Yes, I mean, I kind of do both, to be honest, because...
No, of course not. It will cost money.
Exactly. So I do, I mean, when I do an ad, especially if I do it manually instead of going via Etsy to do the ad, then, you know, you do a post, for example, and whatever you put as a content, so I can put my website as well as Etsy. It all depends where I do the promotion, for example. I mean, it can work better locally to have to go via Etsy, because you don't get delivery charges and you get whatever promotion is going. But for international, because I started selling international, this is the reason why when I had to look for the certification for the product, I wanted the CPSR, which is the UK equivalent, or the CPNP, which is the EU equivalent of the certification. So the chemist that had to certify my product had to be able to do both, which luckily she was. So that was really, really helpful. So that means I can sell to the EU as well as the UK. I mean, obviously it cost a lot more because of postage, but equally via my website, it kind of comes out cheaper. Does that make sense?
It does, because of course on Etsy you're paying fees as well, whereas on your website you get a bar the postage costs, you know, you get to keep the money. So yeah, that makes sense.
So that's what that's how I worked it out, basically. So yes, I do have on both. I mean, yes, I've sold to the Caribbean, to France, to Reunion. So yeah, to Australia lately.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant. And it's amazing that your customers are finding you. I think that's amazing. So I think the word is spreading. The word is definitely spreading, and quickly as well.
Yeah, it's. Oh, and maybe I'm becoming impatient and I'm like, well, it's probably slow because I'm still spending more than I'm earning. But just the fact that there's somehow a constant to it, that's what keeps me going, basically.
So just to give people a sense, because obviously I know, but everyone listening doesn't, when did you actually start selling? Let's give people a sense of how long it's been.
Trading started around October last year.
So we're recording this in March, so that's 5 months. That's not a long time when you think of what you've achieved. And yeah, I think you've done a lot, and you've clearly been working really hard. I just think it's good for people to realize that you're a very young business, under 6 months.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. So yes, in that sense, actually, it's not too bad. I have to kind of keep reminding myself, actually, that it's not that long. It's just because obviously behind the scene or before that trading date, I've been obviously sourcing and doing things and spending, loads of spending. And then it's finding, I mean, it's so easy to fall back into the plastic packaging. For example, I'm thinking of the shampoo now. And I'm thinking, okay, well, shampoo, should I do this or that and so on? But I so don't want to use the plastic that I have to continue with. So it's finding the best way, which one prefer. People prefer the pump, prefer this and that. So it is fascinating. I'm also thinking, because that's another thing that I like doing, is making soap. So I started making soap just for us. And I love making stuff, basically. I'm really, really crafty. I do crochet for myself and so on and so forth. And funny enough, some of my friends are like, oh, I really like your soap, because on this hard water around here, it kind of moisturizes the skin. It keeps that moisture in, and you tend to use less lotion or less cream afterwards because your skin is less dry and so on. For my psoriasis and so on and so forth, it's so much easier, so much nicer. And my skin is so much softer. It's like, now I'm thinking. Hence the reason why, when I did the logo, I didn't put Leonora hair there, because I knew that at some point I might want to kind of extrapolate and do the, yeah. The shampoo, the soap and so on. So, you know, I've got loads of ideas at the moment. It's just popping out of my head.
Yeah, thank you. You do have lots of ideas, but that's great. And I think it's good though to recognize what you said earlier about how long it all takes, because while you might have been selling for 5 months, I know this has been in the pipeline for a lot longer before that, which is possibly why you feel a bit of that impatience, you know, things taking a long time. And something else I just want to highlight, that you keep mentioning this, and I think it's good for people to hear, is I think it's great the amount of testing you've done, you know, with everything product. You say, oh, and my friends used it, and people, I think that's just something I wanted to highlight, that I think that you've done really, really well, is getting people to actually use your products before they were even available to sell, is to use them and give feedback and like them. And then you have, I'm assuming that at least a percentage of these people have gone on and bought from you.
Yes, over 90%, I would say. Probably 3 or 4 haven't yet, because the first I mean, it turned out that it's not that they don't like the product, because all of them said that they like the product. It's because the samples that I gave were quite big.
Well, I'm not sure I'll ever buy oil from you again, because my little sample oil bottle just doesn't go down. But I have bought a butter. But yes, yeah, I can see that it might take some people longer to get through them. But I just wanted to share that, because I think that's great that you did that, because then when you actually have things for sale, you had a group of people who like knew they liked the products. And so it's easy, you know, it's a much easier sale, isn't it?
Yes, in that sense, it's much easier. And then for them to kind of pass the word around, really. And it's not just me, because it's one thing to know that you found a product that works for yourself, and to try it on different texture, different hair style, different hair, basically. And it's like, okay, let's see if it's just for myself that I'd found something or a combination of ingredients that works for myself. And in that sense, it's good to do the samples. And when I worked with the business mentor that I had via the NEA, it was quite interesting, because he said, well, that's a very good way of doing it. so that I get other people's feedback and it's not just mine that counts anymore.
Well, absolutely. I was going to say exactly the same, because you know, you and I have very different hair. I'm sure a lot of the people who sampled have different hair and different hair needs, and you're right, because otherwise, you know, you're kind of just guessing if it works for this hair type or that hair type or this issue, whereas you actually have, you know, you can see that it works. So I think I really do think that's great as well, to just, because I think it gives you so much more confidence in what you're offering if you can say, well, I've tried it on however many people and it's worked for all of them and they're all very different. That must give you a lot of confidence.
It does, because that's the main thing. When I see a lot of product, for example, the first few that I've tried before I started mine, I don't know if it was a marketing ploy or so, where they were saying just for Afro hair or something like this. And I'm thinking, well, the structure of the hair is always the same. The need is different because obviously but the structure of the hair is always the same. I mean, when you cut a hair in half, the structure is exactly the same. So how can you say that if the product is to be infused in the skin, because at the end of the day, you can change. I mean, I'm not doing styling. It's more to do with health, basically, of the hair, so, and the scalp mainly. So this is why it was very important for me to the sample size and people that that were trying it were from different background and different hair type, so that I could, it's a way for me to gouge, for example, yes, okay, so it works for this, that person and so on, and therefore I can safely assume that yes, different people of different background of different hair type find a benefit out of it, not just me or not just my hair type, that type of thing. So yeah. That gave me a lot of confidence in that sense, especially, I mean, let's face it, in Tunbridge there's not many black people, for example, so it would have been, you know, a very narrow market in that sense. But also, how many people that we know that are middle age or so on that are suffering from thinning hair or scalp issues. I mean, I've got people with psoriasis in the hair, itchiness, I mean, due to the water and so on and so forth. And that have come back, that I've sampled it and they say, oh my God, I've never had that, or very sensitive skin. I mean, I've had ex-colleagues, for example, that have such sensitive skin that she couldn't even use the gel, you know, the sanitizer. It was that bad after years of using it. And the oil is the only oil that works for her. It's like, oh, the only. Oh, I like that. So,
Yeah, that's great. And something I just want to come back to, you mentioned in passing a minute ago, but my ears pricked up, is you mentioned working with a business advisor from the NE, I think you did the NEA. Can you just tell us what that is, just in case anyone is interested in finding out more?
I probably have to Google it now. I can't remember the name.
Oh, don't worry. Really, but so is this?
I probably will text you, will email it to you. But yeah, basically, I mean, it all stems from when I was made redundant. The choice was, do I want to go as a job seeker allowance, or do I want to, and I didn't want to. I wanted to do something. I wanted to be my own boss and so on. And that's how it started, where with the program of the, I think it was the Virgin Startup that it started. And then eventually you moved on to the NEA, which I really cannot remember where it stands from. No, sorry, I've got a...
Don't worry. What you can do is send me a link and we'll include it in the show notes for this episode. Because I'm just thinking that for anyone else's whose ears picked up, who thought, oh, I might like a business advisor and just want to go and find out some more. I assume it was a scheme, was it?
It was a scheme that they help out if you want to do that instead of going for job seeker allowance. And it's very good because, I mean, at the end of the day, I've never owned a business before. And they help with doing the cash flow, to do the business plan, which helped with setting up the business loan as well. because that has to be approved. I mean, the idea of business has to be approved to see if it will be available for business, basically.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and it was in the middle of the pandemic as well, which was really difficult because I couldn't do like a big explanation in front of people and so on. It would have been like in front of a panel where I had to explain it and so on, like an expose. But so it was all online. So it was a bit more difficult in that sense, more nerve-wracking because, but it kind of went through. And yes, I do have a business loan as well, but that helps me getting things started, getting the boxes, the you know, the supplies and so on, just get started. And then, yeah, so.
No, brilliant, thank you. Well, do share that link and we'll put it in the show notes for this episode because I think that will be something people might want to go and take a look at. So thank you so much for all you've shared. I have one more question, if that's okay. Keeping an eye on the time. So my final question is, what is your number one piece of advice for anyone else, for other product creators, for anyone else who wants to do something similar, whether it's hair care or different kinds of products? What's something you'd like people to know?
I would say number one, do try it. Number two, I would say it will be good to always have it certified in that sense, because what helps with the process of certification is knowing the levels, the safe levels for the public. Because the one thing, even though I've got insurance, but the one thing I would be mortified about is someone to go back and say, well, this thing burned, or, you know, it is unsafe for the product. And the certification is there to protect the public. The certification is there to protect your customers. It's not there just to make money out of you. It's to make sure that the formula that you're using, you've got a constant about it. So you've got it printed and you have to go back to that. So you give a constant to your product because you're using exactly the same product and the same levels, at the same levels, at the same temperature and what have you. But also, you know that whatever you're using, so for example, I use essential oils, even those paperwork had, and from reputable suppliers as well. And to hold on to your vision, if you know, if you believe in your product, just hold on to that. It is very hard. You will have time where you will feel high and low. It's very emotional journey in that sense, but just believe in your product, believe in your product, believe in what you can do. Try it on yourself, try it, you know, do samples. That is the best way to go around it, because you will have feedback from not just yourself, and it will give you more confidence as well once you have, you know, those feedback. And even if they are not they are negative feedback, just don't take it at heart. It's constructive criticism. So you are not yet in the process of trading. Therefore, you can always amend, change, tweak the formula. So it is the best way to do it about it, and go for it. Go for it.
That's really helpful feedback. Thank you so much for all of that. I think that's really, really good advice. I think people can take a lot from that. And I liked as well what you said about the formulation and how the certification means it's consistent, because I guess that's also when you are making things to a formula yourself, it could be very easy if you didn't have that to sometimes there's a bit more of this or a bit less of that. And then when the customer receives their second or third order, they say, well, this isn't the same. I'm sure we've all had that experience of buying a product. And I'm told that companies change their formulations quite often. They don't always tell you they change your formulations, but I'm sure we've all had the experience of buying a product and you use it and you're like, oh, this is different from last time. The consistency is different, and that's a bit disconcerting. And that can actually, I think, put you off something. So I really like the fact that you've put all that work to make sure that your products were always consistent as well.
It's dangerous as well. And it's dangerous. That's why when I said, for example, I mean, you go on Etsy or wherever and you see all those products. And then not only you see that with the botanical still in situ. So that is a big no-no. So you know that the product is not certified. when they say that, you can make it on demand. We can switch, if you don't like coconut oil, for example, I can switch it. Well, if you can switch it, that means that it's not certified. If you can switch it just on demand, because you will have to have that formula certified. Now, if you can have variants of the same formulation, that means the only variant that you can have is on the smell. And therefore, that is the essential oils. Do you use essential oils? Does it smell like bubble gum? Does it smell like, you know, if it smells like bubble gum, it's not essential oil. It is fragrance. Fragrance is chemical. Do they have the paperwork for it? It's little things like this. I mean, I will actually make a post as well, just to kind of the bullet point of what to look out for that can trigger what is not certified in that sense. I mean, it's not to target the uncertified, but it's just to make sure, because anything that touches the skin or nails or hair is classified as cosmetic in the UK and therefore needs to be certified for this reason, because people can react. People can have adverse reaction, and being from a medical background, to me is, you know, is in me basically. Yeah. You can't let go of the NHS.
Well, do make sure you do that post. I will share that post. I think we've all learned something just from what you said there, and I completely agree. I don't feel like you're targeting anyone either, but I think it's really helpful for us to know as consumers the things to look out for, because all of us want to buy products that are safe. And so thank you, because those have given us some pointers on things we can look for when we're buying as well. And then at least if someone chooses to buy something that isn't uncertified, they're making that decision with their eyes open, and that is their yeah. choice.
Yeah, especially if they're using it on children and so on. I mean, the hair butter, for example, is really good for hair for children's hair. I use it on my son's hair. He wants an afro now, bless him. But but you know, it's little things like this that can, you know, does look innocent, but it can have grave consequences if someone is very sensitive skin. So we do have to be careful of what we're selling as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Laurie, for all that you shared today.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do leave me a review. That really helps other people to find this podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and do tell your friends about it too if you think that they also might enjoy it. You can find me at vickyweinberg.com. There you'll find link to all of my social channels. You'll find lots more information, all of the past podcast episodes, and lots of free resources too. So again, that's vickyweinberg.com. Take care, have a good week, and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.